Welcome to Birthful. I'm Adriana Lozada.
That first trimester, I'm someone who works out pre-pregnancy five, six days a week. And I think I exercised twice my entire first trimester. And instead of beating myself up over it or feeling guilty that I wasn't eating vegetables because I had no interest, I couldn't even be near them, I really just surrendered to the experience. And I reminded myself that, like, it is temporary and it's all worth it.
That is mental health advocate and wellness-based content creator Cameron Rogers talking about what helped her navigate her early pregnancy challenges. Now, when we do stories here at Birthful, we usually focus on the transformation that happens during birth and the enormous shifts in your identity during postpartum. But the truth is, all of those changes start right from when you find out you're pregnant. And even while you're trying to conceive, especially if you have a challenging fertility process. It's just all hard. So to honor those early challenges, today we're switching it up to bring you a pregnancy story. And I wanted to talk to Cameron specifically because she's someone that's openly living with general anxiety disorder. And so her mental health was a priority during her pregnancy. Now, frankly, we are seeing more and more that it should be a priority for all pregnant people, since there is about an 18% prevalence of mood and anxiety disorders during pregnancy, and not just during the postpartum period, which is where the conversation is usually centered. So that's where we're going today. Let's dive into Cameron's experience. So welcome to the show, Cameron. I am delighted to have you here, also because we're going to be doing something different today, which is telling a pregnancy story. And I can't believe we haven't had a pregnancy story in, you know, however many years we've been doing this. So welcome as a guinea pig, I guess.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you identify?
Yes. So my name is Cameron Rogers. I am a content creator in the health and wellness space. So I do this through my main platform, which is Instagram, Freckled Foodie, and then my website, YouTube, TikTok, podcast. You know, I try to hit all the social media platforms. I am 29. I live in New York City. I'm married to my high school sweetheart, and I'm about to be a first-time mom. As we're recording right now, I'm almost 35 weeks. So we are approaching the end line very quickly and very slowly at the same time.
Let's take it back to when you first, 35 weeks ago, or a little, well, you didn't know then, 35 weeks ago that you were pregnant yet, but when you first found out that you were pregnant, take us back there. And how was that initial finding out?
We got married in 2018 in the fall, and we had always thought, okay, we'll have like 2 years of just our married life, and then we'll start to, you know, try to have children and start that whole process. And I've always had some health struggles, just some odd things happen. And I wanted to get ahead of it. And I've always been fearful that conceiving would be difficult for me. And I had been on birth control for 11, 12 years of my life. And it then took me a year to get an actual period after getting my IUD out. So I really wanted to be mindful of this. So I got my blood work done and one of my levels came back lower than expected, my AMH. And so my doctor wanted me to test it again. It came back low again. And so she said, you know, technically it's lower than I would like. It was a 0.7. And I want you to just talk to a fertility specialist so that they can run more tests just to see what's going on. And so I spoke virtually with one fertility specialist. And honestly, like right off the bat, she was like, I want you to do IVF. I think you should get ahead of this. And I felt very overwhelmed because something I had been so fearful of was now seeming to become a reality. And it felt very forced by this one doctor to just automatically jump the gun because my husband and I hadn't even been trying to conceive yet. And so I obviously wanted to get a second opinion. I scheduled an appointment with a second doctor. And in those 2 weeks of hearing that I was potentially going to have to do IVF and meeting with another doctor, my husband and I kind of like stopped the contraception methods we had been using because we were like, well, if we have to do IVF, I mean, who needs these methods anymore? And we were wrong. So I ended up having really bad implantation cramps. Now I know what they were, but really bad cramping for like 3 days. And I usually get bad cramps before my period comes. And it was a little early, so I was very confused, and it just kept cramping, and there was no blood. And so I just had this weird thought. I said, what if I am pregnant? That would be wild. And I took a test without even telling my husband, because I really thought there was zero chance. And next thing I knew, I was screaming from the bathroom to calling him in. He comes in. He's like, what is going on? I was like, I just took a pregnancy test and I'm pregnant. He's like, what, huh? Like, it went from 0 to 60 for him because he didn't even know I was taking it. So of course we went to CVS and got like 5 more because we thought there was no way it was possible. I mean, obviously I was so happy and excited and grateful, but at the same time I was wildly confused and surprised because we hadn't technically been trying and I had just been told we were going to have to do IVF. That immense gratitude and excitement was wonderful to bask in. But for me personally, it didn't last all too long because I did have some rough first trimester symptoms that just totally wiped me out. And it quickly turned to what the heck is happening. Like, I don't feel like I'm in my own body. I don't know what is going on. When will this ever get better? I mean, I felt sick from the second I woke up until the second I went to bed. And it was the most depressing feeling to wake up and count down the hours until you could go back to sleep.
And were you throwing up as well, or was it just nausea?
I wish I was throwing up. I only actually like released, I think, 3 times, but it was sitting over the toilet, eyes blacked out, crying, like saliva situation, but no real relief. Like, it was just the constant back of your throat feeling. I have had a history of concussions, one very serious one 2 years ago, and I still have post-concussion symptoms in the form of headaches, and that is like my Achilles heel, and they hit me really hard during my first trimester especially. And, you know, like every other or most pregnant woman, just incredibly tired and fatigued. And I'm a very go, 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 busy, like, let's do this type of person. And it wiped me out. And mentally, I felt isolated because I didn't expect any of this. And then I felt physically alone because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
So what helped you navigate all that? First of all, I guess, what did you do to better connect with your body? Because you weren't recognizing, feeling like you were yourself in your body. How did, or did you find a way to come to terms with that and better connect?
I think I found ways to cope, but I don't think I found the answers because I don't know if they exist. For me, it looked like I meditate and, you know, really relying on my meditation practice. I also am a big fan of journaling. I also feel part of the loneliness that can come with the first trimester is because so many people aren't sharing that they're pregnant. So for me, I had the support system in my close family and friends because I had told them very early on. But my life is very odd in the sense of my work is so transparent on my platform where I'm sharing my day-to-day and my life, and I'm very honest and open with my community, and that provides a huge sense of community for me, even though it's through a phone. And I wasn't sharing it with my audience yet because, not that I wouldn't have shared had I miscarried real time potentially, but I also, if there were complications and we were having to make a decision, I would want the personal time for my husband and I to deal with that first before sharing with 50,000 people. So I felt this sense of, I can't even be myself on my platform. I feel like I'm lying. And that was very unique to my situation. But for me, coping looked like relying on my family and friends and calling them and talking through these things. And honestly, my mantra that I just kept repeating to myself was surrender, because I can be really hard on myself. And that first trimester, you know, I'm someone who works out pre-pregnancy, 5, 6 days a week. And I think I exercised twice my entire first trimester. And instead of beating myself up over it or, you know, feeling guilty that I wasn't eating vegetables because I had no interest, I couldn't even be near them, I really just surrendered to the experience. And I reminded myself that, like, it is temporary and it's all worth it. But I mean, I also struggle with anxiety. I have my entire life, and my anxiety went through the roof during my first trimester. And that was something that felt incredibly isolating because on top of the anxiety, there were bits of depression of sorts of like, I don't like this. Why does everyone make it seem like pregnancy is this amazing thing that I'm supposed to love? Like, am I a bad person for not enjoying this experience?
And as I'm talking to you and after, like, I've been a doula for 14 years and have helped people through their postpartum experiences, as I'm hearing what you're saying, there is so much mirroring of what you're experiencing early pregnancy to what happens early postpartum. It's almost like a spiral learning at a different level, right? Like you get it and now you're going to get it again and you're going to get it again
right.
until you learn it. And I know you've shared publicly that you've lived with general anxiety all throughout, but then on top of it, the world added a pandemic where the risk factors for like prenatal anxiety or prenatal depression are very much the same risk factors and symptoms of what we've all been experiencing. And then it kind of doubles for you as a person who's lived with anxiety. Like some of the things that some of those risk factors are living alone or having poor social support, right? Being isolated or having experienced a traumatic or stressful event in the past year. Like that's what we all experienced recently. Those are risk factors that would increase anxiety and depression during pregnancy, along with having a family history then adds, like you were just getting more and more, these risks were piling up for you.
For me, it was my general anxiety as the baseline. We can call it like the cake. And then the pandemic was just the icing because it just added all of these extra fears that I, in a normal world, would have never worried about. Honestly, up until a few days ago, because I had created this story basically that I was telling myself that God forbid my husband got COVID right before the delivery and then he wasn't allowed to be in the delivery room and he wasn't eligible for the vaccine yet. And I was freaking out. And it's just things that we never would have thought of pre-pandemic. So for me, a lot of it was, like you mentioned, the isolation. Fortunately, my family lives close and we all took it incredibly seriously and agreed to get tested before we would see each other. So I was able to see my sisters and my parents sporadically, which was a blessing. But I really didn't see many, if any, of my friends for a very long time. And I think I'm just now coming to terms with this experience. Mainly, I felt in my end of my second trimester that I had been robbed of a typical pregnancy, of the community and celebratory aspect. Because, you know, baby shower aside, that's not something that I typically care about and I'm fine not having one. But just the socialization of seeing friends and them getting to see me pregnant, as silly as that sounds, and being along for this journey in person, even though I talk to them on the phone and FaceTime all the time, it's not the same. It's great that we have these tools, but it's not the same.
And, you know, because pregnancy, giving birth, is all such a huge embodied experience. All these changes that you were saying are happening to your body. You're like, oh, that happened almost overnight. Now mm-hmm. I've got this new pain. Now I've got this right. new, now I'm leaking colostrum. Now, like, what new thing are you throwing
every
my
day.
Way, body?
Right? Every day I'm texting my doula. I'm like, is this normal? What is happening?
Yeah. And even just the fact of like, once the baby, at this point, baby's big enough that you people on the outside can put their hands on your belly and feel the kicks. You can't go like, oh, baby, just kick, grab a hand and put it on your belly, right? That's missing. What are some other of the weird things that you've been texting your doula asking? What?
Oh, gosh.
What surprised you the most?
So, I mean, this whole pregnancy journey has surprised me. I get that I am naive and I went in a little blind, A, because it was a surprise, but B, I'm not someone that finds comfort in the like overanalyzation research of things. I like to be prepared, but I also realized that my anxiety could potentially spiral if I started Googling every single thing. So I've decided instead to just trust my doula and my doctor. And ignore Dr. Google. So for me, honestly, this whole process has been wild, but very small things I'm noticing that I'm like, is this normal? First trimester, obviously a lot was my anxiety, but also physical changes, the like hair everywhere all of a sudden. This body odor for me was a big one. And like on top of the nausea, it was just, I hated smell, like the scent of myself. I was like, I'm going to throw up. Second trimester was like my honeymoon phase because I was starting to actually get a bump and it felt real. But the third trimester has been a lot of like random physical things, you know, obviously like linea nigra, which I've seen on women, but I still don't fully understand like what it is. And I noticed it on myself one day and I'm like, Can someone explain this to me? A lot of breast changes. I mean, like doubled in size, stretch marks galore. And colostrum is definitely starting to happen. So I get they're very typical pregnancy things. But for me, I'm like, this is a science experiment to observe.
It really makes you feel mammalian, right? Like,
it's crazy. Like, Our baby is so active and I keep trying to catch him on video, but I swear every time I pull out my camera, he stops, which I think is a common. Everyone tells me that happens to them as well. But observing it, like the other day I was laying on the couch in a sports bra and sweatpants and my husband looked at me and was like, oh my God, you have a cone sticking out of your stomach. Like he had maneuvered himself in this weird position where his butt, he was like twerking in my belly. And I mean, it's so wild to me. And I think during all of my struggles and moments of, I don't love this, I keep reminding myself that this is superhuman stuff. The fact that we are creating a life inside of our bodies is not something that is lost on me and has been my like shining light through this entire experience, because I think it is just absolutely mind-blowing.
Nature tends to be economical, right? So for example, the fact that your nipples are getting darker, well, babies see black and white.
Right.
When
things
they're first
like that,
born.
It blows my mind. Like, that, oh, so that's it's literally, why it's happening.
It's a bullseye. And then there's glands around your areola that secrete a scent like amniotic fluid. So it's directly guiding your baby. And so to me, those things are fascinating and kind
I
of
think
like
that's mind blowing too.
And might try to help accept the, yeah, this. I've got these boobs, but there's a reason for it. Now that you're third trimester, what has this been like? What are the things that have been surprising? Because second trimester tends to be that love period of you've got energy and you feel great. Yeah.
The beginning of the third trimester was a little still the honeymoon phase. I had energy. I wanted to walk everywhere. I had this cute bump that I loved. I've now hit a point where I am starting to get very uncomfortable, honestly, just like the pressure on my pelvic floor and my hips is a lot. I feel as if I have to go to the bathroom at all hours of every day. And it's frustrating because all I want to do is go for walks and be outside and move and not just sit down, because sitting almost hurts more. But I will go to the bathroom and leave our apartment and walk 3 blocks. And whoever I'm with, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom again. And that's another thing that is not easy to do in a pandemic. I have been turned down by so many stores, even though I'm pregnant, saying that I'm not allowed to use their restroom and like they're closed right now to anyone who's not staff. So it's the constant feeling of needing to urinate and the hip and like ligament pain. And for me, honestly, my sleep has just gone out the window the past 2 weeks especially. And so I, again, am kind of leaning into that surrender mentality and trying to sleep when I can. And that looks like a lot of naps throughout the day when I'm able to squeeze them in, because otherwise I'm not a functioning human.
Yes. And how great that you are actually listening and trying to pay attention to your body as much as you can. Not everybody can take a nap whenever their body's asking for a nap. But if you can listen to that, like, it makes a huge difference. And it's kind of preparing you for postpartum as well.
Right. What you mentioned is something I'm also very focused on, is the gratitude I have for my current career, because I worked in a very different industry for 5 years. in sales and trading on Wall Street, and it was a very intense, demanding, fast-paced job. And this entire pregnancy, I have been reflecting on the immense amount of admiration I have for women who are going through this in a corporate setting, and remembering sitting next to two women who were pregnant and being like, oh, that must be hard, but not really having the understanding of what they're experiencing. I actually texted them both and I said, like, how the heck did you do this? And they were like, remember how we used to eat bags of gingins all day long and you just thought it was a fun candy we loved? Like, it's because one of us was always pregnant and trying not to throw up at the desk. So I'm just so grateful that I have the ability to surrender, because I know that that's not always the case.
I know we've talked a lot about like the negative things you've been experiencing and things that have been difficult. What's been the best part of being pregnant?
For me, honestly, like observing my husband in this process of what an incredible human he is. I always knew he was the one for me. We've been together for 13, 14 years, but how supportive and just will do anything to try and make me feel better or to make my day better, or just his level of excitement for what's to come. And then also just this new love I have for my body, because I've struggled with body image issues in the past, and I'm not going to act like pregnancy has been easy. It's like the ultimate test for those things. And I've definitely had moments of panic and struggle throughout this journey. But I also think I found an entirely new appreciation for my body, which is always something that I try to encourage people to, instead of critique your own body, we should be appreciating and actually showing gratitude to our body for working. And I have so much gratitude for my body for being able to do this. Like we said, it's superhuman stuff. It is absolutely mind-blowing to me that there is a human growing inside of my belly, you know, uterus, whatever, but like in my body. It's just wild to me.
Absolutely. Well, wait till you give birth.
I try not to think about it, but I don't understand how it's possible.
Because your body is amazing and it shifts and stretches and moves in a way that will allow for this to happen, right?
Yes.
It's not a thinking brain process. It's a physiological process.
Right.
That's what
I
you can't
saying,
think about. Yeah.
I'm like, my body knows what to do. That's my mantra for the end of this pregnancy.
How are you preparing for birth?
So I am working with a doula. As I mentioned, I wanted someone to be able to rely on. You know, I love my doctor a lot, but I also realize that like she has a ton of other patients and she's not there for me to, like, the purpose is not for me to call her every 10 seconds if I need something. So I'm working with a doula who I absolutely adore. And while it's been incredibly helpful for me, I honestly think it's been even more beneficial for my husband, because he's learning so much as well. And like she said, a lot of this is for their relationship, so that when we are in the delivery room, he is able to feel as if he's being useful and doing things rather than just being there and feeling like he can't help, and mentally preparing him to see me in this much pain and not being able to actually change anything. So she's been amazing. But honestly, my plan when I think about birth is, I am someone who is very plan oriented, but I also have a very hard mental time when I plan something and the experience is very different in my mind than the reality. And I know that about myself. And so I don't want to set this like dream, exotic plan in my mind, because in reality, I realize I'm not actually in control. It's the baby. And a lot of things can go not as planned. And I want to be way more lenient and go with the flow in that process, instead of holding on so tightly to this idea of like fantasy that I have for my experience, because I think mentally that would be really hard for me to let go of. So the plan is to get to the hospital before I deliver and to leave the hospital with a healthy baby, no matter what that journey looks like in between.
Absolutely. Like, you can't plan what's going to happen. that circumstances, this is part of the process of learning. You're learning to be okay with uncertainty. So similarly, what have you done to prepare for postpartum?
So this is something I'm very aware of from a mental anxiety standpoint, because I realize that a lot of women struggle with postpartum depression. And given my mental background, it's a large chance for me. I do work with a psychiatrist who we've been working my entire pregnancy. And, you know, now my husband's starting to get involved in the conversations of just things to look out for, things to be aware of, things to watch and potentially like reflect back to me. And then really honing in on my husband and I want this to be an incredible bonding experience for the three of us. And leaning into the team aspect of everything. We're both athletes for our entire lives. We both played sports in college. And similarly, we think of the birthing as kind of game day and really just being a team afterwards. And, you know, we aren't having someone to live with us, but we have family very close by who can come support if we need it. And taking this on with as much happiness and comedy and fun as we possibly can. And then also just like preparing our freezer with like all the Patsicles and all of the breast milking cookies or nursing cookies. And I'm going to prep a lot of meals so that we have easy, delicious home-cooked meals for the nights where there's, I mean, for many days where there's zero chance we're doing any cooking.
Oh, and nutrition is key. It's key for you feeling well like that and sleep, right? And I wish everybody would also, I really appreciate bringing in the mental aspect of the preparation, because we know that the incidence for postpartum perinatal mood disorders are even up to 1 in 8 will experience some symptoms. So I think, again, talking about the things we need to talk more about, have it into a broader spectrum. But is there anything else you wanted to make sure we got to, or you want to tell the listeners before we close?
Honestly, I think what I've been telling for anyone who's listening who's pregnant, and this is a conversation I've been having with a lot of the Freckled Foodie community via my DMs, is that no matter what emotion you're feeling during this pregnancy, whether it's a really happy one or a sad one or a emotional detachment or, you know, all of these things, you're not alone. You know, you might feel very isolated and alone in the moment because many people aren't talking about the not so great aspects of pregnancy, but you're not alone. I can guarantee you of that. If I could just show people, look into my DMs, we would all realize a lot of us are feeling the same way. And that to me has helped a lot when I'm at my low moments, remembering that I'm not the only one feeling this way.
Cameron, thank you so very much for being on the show today and sharing your story, your pregnancy experience with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
That was Cameron Rogers, who is on a mission to make healthy living realistic and approachable. Cameron is the host of the Freckled Foodie and Friends podcast, and she's also a new mom. Yep, she's a new mom because since we recorded, Cameron had her baby son, Liam. We send her a huge congrats and hope that they are having a nourishing postpartum. You can follow Cameron's postpartum journey on Instagram at Freckled Foodie. One thing you can do for you is to recognize that during the perinatal period, it is possible to need mental health support at any point. Prenatal depression or anxiety, sometimes also called antenatal depression or anxiety, both meaning before birth, those are real conditions. And if mental health has been a concern in your health history, then you'll want to have a conversation with your care provider from the onset of pregnancy or as early as you can about how to best support your mental well-being through all these perinatal transitions. And then one thing you can do for the rest of us is show your support for Postpartum Support International's Mind the Gap campaign. Undiagnosed and untreated perinatal mental health disorders are a silent health crisis in the United States. So go to postpartum.net and click on the Mind the Gap tab to learn more, join the movement, and support their efforts. You can connect with Birthful on Instagram at Birthful Podcast. And to learn more about Birthful and my birth and postpartum preparation classes, go to birthful.com. Birthful was created by me, Adriana Lozada, and is a production of La Antigua Williams & Co. The show's senior producer is Paulina Velasco. Jen Chen is executive editor. Cedric Wilson is our lead producer. Kojin Tashiro is our associate sound designer and mixed this episode. Thank you for listening to and sharing Birthful. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere you listen. And come back for more ways to inform your intuition.